This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. The minimum wage would be raised to $25 an hour under a new bill introduced by Senator Murphy. Professional golfers and commentators are not happy with Long Island fans. Could New York host another Olympic Games? Plus, a look at the increased use of AI in healthcare. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. The minimum wage would be raised to $25 an hour under a new bill introduced by U.S. Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut. It would be the largest federal minimum wage increase in U.S. history. WSHU's Ebong Udama has the details.
Murphy calls his legislation the Living Wage for All Act.
There is no reason that somebody should go to work full time in this country and not be able to pay their bills. Right? There is no excuse for it. In a world where we just created the first trillionaire.
Murphy says 45% of American workers currently make less than $25 an hour. His proposal would increase the federal minimum wage from its current $7.25 an hour, which was set in 2009, beginning with $12 an hour, then gradually reaching $25 over several years, with larger employers facing a faster timeline. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
Long Island hosted two major golf tournaments within the past 12 months. Both times, the behavior from fans drew criticism from players and commentators. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
The U.S. Open just wrapped up at Shinnecock Hills, but the players aren't the only ones making headlines. Golf Channel commentator Eamon Lynch called Long Island fans specifically, quote, a stain on the game of golf. Lynch criticized the rowdy fans at Long Island tournaments who routinely get thrown out for heckling the players. The same thing happened at the Ryder Cup last September at the Bethpage Black Course. PGA of America tells Newsday that plans to host the 2033 championship at Bethpage are still on, despite Lynch saying it should be held elsewhere. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
New York State has its eye on hosting the Winter Olympics. The New York Public News Network's John Campbell reports.
Governor Hochul launched a committee to study whether New York City and Lake Placid could host the 2042 Games. She's using the recent Olympics in Italy as inspiration. Milan hosted the arena-based competitions like hockey and figure skating, while the ski and sled events were held a few hours away in Cortina. The exploratory committee will examine whether something similar is feasible in New York, where Lake Placid has the ski facilities and there's no shortage of arenas downstate. The committee includes members of Hochul's administration, as well as the deputy mayors from New York City and Lake Placid. It'll be a lengthy process. The International Olympic Committee hasn't laid out the bidding procedure for 2042. In Albany, I'm John Campbell for the New York Public News Network.
A recent survey by the American Medical Association showed about 80% of physicians use AI at work. More on that is coming up.
The American flag can unite us, inspire us, and sometimes divide us. As America approaches its 250th anniversary, WSHU presents a special Join the Conversation event exploring the First Amendment, free speech, and the meaning of the American flag. Free speech scholar Nadine Strossen and Fairfield University political scientist Aaron Weinstein will lead the discussion, followed by audience questions, Monday, June 29th at 7 p.m. at Fairfield University. Tickets and more information at WSHU.org.
Getting excited for America 250? There are plenty of ways to celebrate around our region. For example, this Sunday in Connecticut, check out a colonial village and restored Continental Army-style sailing ship in Greenwich. And next week on Long Island, it's the much-anticipated Jones Beach Air Show, July 5th and 6th. We have a full list of fun for you to check out over at WSHU.org and on our Instagram. We're at WSHU Public Radio. Connecticut residents are reporting an uptick in porcupine sightings. The prickly rodents prefer colder northern temperatures, but have recently been spotted in Unionville and West Hartford. Wildlife experts say porcupines aren't dangerous unless they're threatened. The head of the MTA says the agency will not partner with Amtrak and the federal government to redesign Penn Station. John Olieber says the LIRR operates most of the trains in and out of Penn, and the partnership could lead developers to tear up the newly renovated concourse. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers made the first arrest under Connecticut's new law restricting ICE activities. WSHU's Shelley Hessman-Kadish has the details.
ICE said its agents arrested Edvin Obdulio Barnica Escoval at Danbury Superior Court this week. According to Hearst Connecticut Media, the state judicial branch confirmed that ICE followed the new laws that require state judicial marshals to verify that agents show a judicial warrant. A federal judge issued a warrant for Barnica Escoval on a charge of illegally reentering the U.S. Entering the country illegally is a misdemeanor under federal law, but reentering after being deported is a felony. While ICE complied with the new state law this time, a spokesperson for ICE says Connecticut's sanctuary politicians do not control federal law enforcement. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
If you've been to a medical appointment lately, it's likely your doctor is using some form of artificial intelligence. A recent survey by the American Medical Association showed about 80% of physicians use AI at work. There are AI tools for lots of medical tasks, from note-taking to billing and reading test results. And increasingly, the New England News Collaborative's Deborah Becker reports that doctors are turning to AI when they diagnose patients.
And let me bring this over here.
In his office at South Shore Hospital, Dr. Sam Ash pulls up the case of a new patient with a history of mental illness.
She was found by one of her loved ones in her bathroom with a lot of pill bottles around her.
One of the bottles contained the drug Depakote, which is a mood stabilizer that can also treat epilepsy. High levels of it in her blood would require dialysis or HD.
This is something that I know, that we use HD to treat Depakote toxicity, but off the top of my head, I can't remember the exact level.
Ash double checks with an AI diagnostic tool called Open Evidence. It allows doctors to type in a patient's case and immediately get information. Open Evidence tells them that based on the blood levels, the patient won't need dialysis. Then it reminds him to dig deeper.
Remember to check to make sure that she didn't take something else where the bottle wasn't seen. Again, this is part of our protocol, and so it's something that we're doing already, but, you know, it's sort of a helpful reminder.
Open Evidence is often called ChatGPT for doctors. It's a free tool that can scan vast amounts of data and provide specific answers. The company that makes it estimates 40% of all U.S. doctors use it. Ash says while some patients might be uncomfortable with AI helping doctors diagnose, he emphasizes it's not the only tool he's using.
I'm looking at multiple sources. I'm looking at Open Evidence to start, but then I'm confirming my decision and my information with either the primary source literature or something that's been, you know, around and trusted and validated.
Where AI is increasingly relied upon is in a dark room in the hospital. In radiology.
My name is Ori Price. I am a radiologist and the chair of the Department of Diagnostic Imaging at South Shore Hospital. We are right now in the Department of Radiology in one of the reading rooms.
Price is examining two CT scans of a patient's abdomen.
This is a cyst in the kidney right here.
One image is noticeably clearer. It was enhanced by AI, and it required less radiation than the other scan.
AI, through machine learning, has learned how to identify noise versus actual image and clean up the image so we can obtain the same quality images at lower radiation doses.
Price says that minimizes radiation exposure for patients. And research suggests that AI can be increasingly helpful and accurate in radiology. But several other studies have raised questions about whether doctors should trust AI, which has also been shown to sometimes make up information. There are also questions about how to protect patient privacy. Dr. Sam Ash says it's hospital policy not to enter identifying patient information into the Open Evidence chatbot so it isn't inadvertently exposed. And he says it complies with federal medical privacy law.
If we don't make things like this available, then people are going to use other tools. people are going to use Google or people are going to use ChatGPT. And that we really don't want, because there we really don't have confidence that what they're putting into those search tools is going to remain private in any way.
Ash also points out that doctors oversee AI tools, and they are ultimately responsible for any diagnosis or treatment. That's one of the concerns of Joanne Fergus, executive director of the Massachusetts Nurses Association.
We're removing the humans from the process, even though we're saying that that's not the case.
Fergus says nurses are not getting adequate training on the technology and questions whether they could be blamed for faulty AI recommendations.
The tool is being introduced ahead of any regulation or any question or conversation about who is liable for what.
Fergus agrees that AI could help prevent some of the human errors already known to be a major problem in healthcare, but she feels hospitals are moving too quickly.
And we're never in the system stopping long enough to ask the questions about why and how. It's always just the shiniest new thing that we're introducing. I feel like AI is going to run ahead of us.
While there are a lot of unanswered questions about AI, many Massachusetts hospital leaders say they believe it can ease a strained healthcare system. Dr. Eric Dixon, president and CEO of UMass Memorial Health in Worcester, touts a multi-million-dollar investment in new technologies. He expects his hospital system will go from using about 60 AI tools now to 300 in just the next year and a half.
AI isn't a choice anymore. We can't shut it off. And so our job as humans is to figure out how to leverage it for the benefit of our patients in my particular situation or society as a whole.
AI is evolving faster than the frameworks to govern it. Most hospitals have oversight boards and policies on its use, but there's growing consensus in the medical community that regulators and lawmakers should step in to ensure that AI will in fact be what the doctor orders. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Deborah Becker.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online with our free app, and tune in right here to the After All Things podcast every weekday evening. And for more from WSHU, Instagram is the place to be. You can find us at WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk tomorrow.